जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यशोदनंदन ब्रज जनरंजन यमुना तीरावन चारी यमुना तीरावन चारी जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी जयो राधमाधव कुंज बिहारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी गोपी जन बल्लभ गिरिवर धारी Yesudanandana Braja Janaranjana Yesudanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Chiravana Chari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Gopi Janna Vallava Girivade Dari Gopi Janna Vallava Girivade Dari Yesudanandana Braja Janaranjana Yesudanandana Braja Janaranjana Yamuna Jiravana Chari Yamuna Chiravana Chari Jayo Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jayo Radha Madhava Dava Kunja Bihari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Ramo Ramo Hare Hare Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Paramahamsa Paravirakacharya Asatara Satashi Shimad His Evangelist Sisi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Hila Pabupada Ki Nitya Lila Pavishta Om Vishnupad Paramahamsa Paravirakacharya Asatara Satashi Shimad His Evangelist Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Pabupada Ki Ananta Kota Vaishnavinda Ki Iskan Pandita Charya His Evangelist Hila Pabupada Ki Namacharya Shila Haridas Thakur Ki Pemzi Gaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Dvaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vindaki Shri Shri Radha Krishna Gopa Gopanath Shama Kundarara Kundagiri Govardhan Ki Shri Vrindavan Dham Ki Shri Navadip Mayapur Dham Ki Ganga Mayi Ki Tamuna Mayi Ki Tulsi Devi Ki Bhakti Devi Ki Sankirtan Yagya Ki Shri Harinam Sankirtan Ki Granta Raj Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Samaveta Bhakta Vindaki Go Premananda, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to the assembled devotees, all glorious to Shishi Guru and Garamu.
Hare Krishna, a small announcement. This car, MH30.
Before I begin speaking from Srimad Bhagavatam, I'd like to thank Krishna Chandra Prabhu for hosting this wonderful event and giving me the opportunity to come and to be in all of your association. It was actually pretty spontaneous on my part to be here. It was unexpected, but now that I'm here, I'm so happy to be amongst all of you, and I've been hankering for it for a long time. So I thank you for allowing me to be here. Although I would prefer to be hearing from the saintly persons here, unfortunately I found myself in a situation of pretending to be somebody who knows something about the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. But I have faith. Then in the order of Srila Radhanath Maharaj, who's ordered me to give this class, that I may be able to say something relevant at least to your spiritual life and to my own purification, which is another significant reason why I should be sitting here, because I need as much purification as I can get. And the message of Srimad Bhagavatam is very cleansing to the heart and forces one to look inside himself and to present the message in a way that's understandable and which is transparent, so that for the welfare of others. So, on the strength of Srila Radhanath Maharaj's strong request, I won't call it an order. It happened last night while we were taking prasadam together. He said, I can't order you, but I very humbly request you that you must give this class. So, that's an order. Couched in traditional Radhanath Maharaj style. So I've selected a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 8, Prayers by Queen Kunti, text number 29. And since there is no board, I'll simply read the verse. And we can do the word for word, and then I'll read the translation and commentary by Srila Prabhupada. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Navida kaschid bhagavanscha kirsitam tavihamanasya ninam vidambanam nayasya kaschid dayatosti karhichit dveshyascha yasmin vishama matirninam. Word for word. Na does not. Veda no. Kaschit anyone. Bhagavan, O Lord, Chikirshitam, pastimes, Tava, your, Ihamanasya, like the worldly men, Nrinam, of the people in general, Vidambanam, misleading. Na, never. Yasya, his. Kaschit, anyone. Dayata, object of specific favor. Asti, there is. Karhichit, anywhere. Dveshya, object of envy. Cha, and yasmin, unto him. Vishama, partiality. Mati, conception. Nrinam, of the people. Translation. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. The Lord's mercy upon the fallen souls is equally distributed. He has no one as the specific object of hostility. The very conception of the personality of Godhead as a human being is misleading. His pastimes appear to be exactly like a human being's, but actually they are transcendental and without any tinge of material contamination. He is undoubtedly known as partial to his pure devotees, but in fact he is never partial, as much as the sun is never partial to anyone. By utilizing the sun rays, sometimes even the stones become valuable. Whereas a blind man cannot see the sun, although there are enough rays before him, enough sun rays before him. Darkness and light are two opposite conceptions. But this does not mean that the sun is partial in distributing its rays. The sun rays are open to everyone, but the capacities of the receptacles differ. Foolish people think that devotional service is flattering the Lord to get special mercy. Factually, the pure devotees who are engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are not a mercantile community. A mercantile house renders service to someone in exchange for values. The pure devotee does not render service unto the Lord for such exchange, and therefore the full mercy of the Lord is open for him. Suffering and needy men, inquisitive persons, or philosophers make temporary connections with the Lord to serve a particular purpose. When the purpose is served, there is no more relation with the Lord. A suffering man, if he is pious at all, prays to the Lord for his recovery. But as soon as the recovery is over, in most cases the suffering man no longer cares to keep any connection with the Lord. The mercy of the Lord is open for him, but he is reluctant to receive it. That is the difference between a pure devotee and a mixed devotee. Those who are completely against the service of the Lord are considered to be in abject darkness. Those who ask for the Lord's favor only at the time of necessity are partial recipients of the mercy of the Lord. And those who are 100% engaged in the service of the Lord are full recipients of the mercy of the Lord. Such partiality in receiving the Lord's mercy is relative to the recipient, and it is not due to the partiality of the all-merciful Lord. When the Lord descends on this material world by his all-merciful energy, he plays like a human being, and therefore it appears that the Lord is partial to his devotees only, but that is not a fact. Despite such apparent manifestation of partiality, his mercy is equally distributed. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, all persons who died in the fight before the presence of the Lord got salvation without the necessary qualifications, because death before the presence of the Lord purifies the passing soul from the effects of all sins. And therefore the dying man gets a place somewhere in the transcendental abode. Somehow or other, if someone puts himself open in the sun rays, he is sure to get the requisite benefit both by heat and by ultraviolet rays. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Lord is never partial. It is wrong for the people in general to think of him as partial. Translation again. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Om Agyana Timarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksha Unminitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Kalpaturubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patita Anampavanibhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha. So in this verse, from the prayers of Queen Kunti, we get a little glimpse into Krishna's personality. It is very difficult to understand Krishna's personality. Atapi te deva padam bhuja dvaya prasadala sanaguhite vihi. Unless one gets a drop of mercy from the lotus feet of Krishna, he can never understand the greatness of Krishna's personality, even though he may study the Vedas for many, many years, many births. One requires some mercy to understand Krishna's personality. It is hidden to those who do not obtain that drop of mercy, who are not anxious, who are not eager for that mercy. We know the Lord is very merciful and very kind. And this verse describes how the Lord is equal. He's not partial to anyone. He's equally disposed, but it's dependent upon the quality of the receptacle and how one obtains the full mercy or partial mercy of the Supreme Lord. Just like it says that a person who is suffering, he may look for relief for suffering, but he is a partial recipient of the mercy of the Lord. He may get relief from his suffering, but then he thinks, because my suffering is gone, now I need no longer a connection with the Lord. So he really does not get the full mercy of the Lord. The full mercy of the Lord, of course, means to be able to understand Krishna's personality and to obtain pure devotional service and establish one's eternal relationship with the Supreme. The Lord is described in the Bhagavatam, that there's that verse to, I think, Yudhishthira Maharaj, was described that Krishna has become your friend, he's become your messenger, guru, God. But I see that you are very fortunate because he's become your servant. The Lord will give one liberation very easily, but he does not give devotional service so easily, because when he gives devotional service, he has to give himself. So therefore, it's not so easily obtained, although we know that by the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, that although the subject matter of bhakti is very difficult to understand, nonetheless in the age of Kali, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he's made it very easily accessible even to those who are unqualified for such mercy. But nonetheless, either way, mercy is required. And the Lord is purchased and inclined to give his mercy to those who have unflinching faith in the process of pure devotional service. This was illustrated very nicely in the Srimad Bhagavatam, in the 10th canto. There's a very famous pastime which we all know. It is the pastime of Krishna and Mother Yashoda. When Mother Yashoda, she was trying to bind her son with ropes because of her son's mischievous behavior. We all know this leela. We hear it during the month of Kartik very often. And we know that ultimately how Krishna allowed himself to become bound by Mother Yashoda because of her pure love. Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur gives a very detailed commentary in his Sarata Darshani, which helps us to understand how Krishna gives his mercy. He explains that when Krishna, he was engaging in mischievous activities. We know he was taking stones, breaking open the pots of butter and yogurt, distributing the contents to the monkeys, and he was having a very good time. It was his enjoyment. In fact, he was having such a good time. The Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes that Krishna didn't want to be tied by Mother Yashoda. He didn't want to be tied because he wanted to continue to play with his friends and he wanted to continue to steal butter. So that was his desire. And because that was his desire, two potencies of the Lord manifested within his body. One of those potencies was called the Vibhuti Shakti potency. That Vibhuti Shakti potency is the potency which reveals something mystical, the greatness of the Lord's potencies. What was that Vibhuti Shakti potency? That Vibhuti Shakti potency was that when Mother Yashoda was trying to tie the rope, every time she attempted to tie it, it was always two fingers too short. That's mystical. Especially since not only should she take one piece of rope, but she took many pieces of rope and she tied them together. And you would think that the additional length would very easily fill the gap. But because of Krishna's Vibhuti Shakti, this rope was not able to be tied. And it's described another potency manifested in Krishna's body, which is called his Satya Sankalpa Shakti. Satya Sankalpa Shakti is the potency of the Lord which fulfills each and every desire of the Lord. Whatever he desires is fulfilled. So the Satya Sankalpa Shakti manifested in such a way because Krishna, what did he want? He wanted to continue to play with his friends. And he wanted to continue to steal butter. That was his desire. So Mother Yashoda, no matter how hard she tried, even though she took all the ropes from the house and tied them together, they were still insufficient. Then all the other elderly cowherd women, they came and she said, and they said to Yashoda, they were taunting her. Said, Yashoda, what, can't you see that it is your son's good fortune today? He's not going to be tied. Why don't you stop and just accept that he has good fortune and cannot be tied to you by any endeavor on your part? And Mother Yashoda, she said to the elderly cowherd woman, she said, I want to see the extent of my son's waste. Please, all of you, you all go to your home and you all get as much rope as you can find in the whole village. What to speak of my own home? I want all the ropes in the whole village. You bring them here. I will tie up my son. So Mother Yashoda, she had this desire. She wanted to tie up Krishna. And she wanted to find out the extent of his waist. And she worked very hard to tie him up. Even though she got all the ropes in the village and added each rope, still it was insufficient. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, when there is competition between the devotee and between the Lord, the devotee's determination always prevails. A very interesting point. Competition between the devotee and the Lord. Krishna, he has a desire. Satya Sankalpa Shakti was there. Vibhuti Shakti was there. Satya Sankalpa Shakti was preventing Yashoda from tying him. But what did Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur go on to explain? He said that actually, when he saw the hard labor of Mother Yashoda, and the word that is used in the verse is parishrama. Parishrama means, Prabhupada actually talks about this word, parishrama, when he describes apavarga. There's one way he uses, but pa, bha, ba, ba, and ma. Right? One of them was parishrama, hard labor, with the cause of bondage. When the living entity is working so hard, then pena, then it's foaming at the mouth. But this parishrama that was used in this verse in relationship to Mother Yashoda is not that type of parishrama. Mother Yashoda, she was working so hard and perspiration was coming from her. Not only was she working hard trying to tie up her son, but she just was running around the whole yard chasing him in her attempt to catch him. When Krishna saw this hard labor of his mother, this Parishrama and also the Kripa Shakti manifested. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, when the devotee manifests such hard labor in his attempt to serve the Lord, then what happens is Krishna's heart becomes soft, just like butter, and it melts. And when his heart becomes soft like butter and it melts, what does he do? He wants to give his mercy to that devotee. And it is by that mercy of the Lord, that Kripa Shakti, that mercy of the Supreme Lord, that was manifest, that Yashoda was able to finally bind Krishna. The 2 inches, or the 2 finger lengths, with that distance was filled, as Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur described, that 2 fingers distance was filled by the hard labor of Mother Yashoda. Therefore, Krishna became very merciful. And not only that, but then he allowed himself to become bound, even though he had his own desire. Mother Yashoda's desire defeated him. He allowed himself to become defeated by his devotee. And Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur describes 2 other qualities. He says that there is bhakti nishta. And he says bhakti nishta is the determination of the devotee to serve Krishna despite whatever reversals, whatever obstacles there are. We know nishta means conviction, firm faith. When there is bhakti nishta, then there is svanishta. What is svanishta? It's Krishna's consistency. He's consistent. It's his own nishta. What is Krishna's own nishta? His own nishta is that when his devotee, he sees the hard labor of the devotee, it is his bhakta vatsalya, that quality of allowing himself to become defeated by his devotee. And therefore reciprocating. Even though his own desire is there, his desire is defeated by the devotee's intense desire to please the Lord. Therefore we say that to obtain the mercy of the Supreme Lord requires great faith. It requires great persistence. This faith, this shraddha, is described to be the characteristic or the eligibility for pure devotional service. In the commentary, Srila Prabhupada talks about 4 types of persons who approach Krishna. Chaturvida bhajante mam jana sukhita ojana artho jigyaso artarti ganicha bharatarshava. There are 4 types of persons who approach the Lord. Those who are distressed, those who are inquisitive, those who are in need of wealth, and those who are wise. Prabhupada speaks about these different persons who approach the Lord and how each of them get mercy to a particular degree. But he says the pure devotee of the Lord, because he does not have a mercantile consciousness, the pure devotee of the Lord is the devotee whose one and only desire is to bring about the satisfaction of the Supreme Lord. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur in his Bhakti Loka, he describes that there's the Karmi, the Jnani, and the Bhakta. The Karmi, all of them, they are looking for some result by dint of their sacrifices. One who's engaged in karma yoga, the result he's looking for is the fruit of his sacrifice. He wants some result. The jnani, he also is looking for some fruit of sacrifice. He wants liberation. And the devotee is also looking for some fruit. How is that possible? What is the devotee? What is the fruit that the devotee is looking for? He says the fruit that the devotee is looking for is Krishna's pleasure. That is the fruit. He says sometimes it is seen that the sadhakas are engaged in devotional service, but after prolonged sadhana, sometimes they give up their sadhana because they lose their faith. And they give up their sadhana. And he says, therefore, one of the qualities that's required is patience. And he says, patience means that a devotee must have firm faith that I will get Krishna's mercy. Either now, 1 year from now, 100 years from now, 100 lifetimes from now. But someday I will get Krishna's mercy and I will go on serving Krishna. He said that is patience. As we said in the beginning, Atapite Deva Padam Bhuja Dvaya Prasana Lasana Gurhita Evahi, that one has to get this mercy of Krishna. The devotee must be very eager for mercy. He must have faith that actually Krishna consciousness and perfection in Krishna consciousness is possible. It's obtainable. He must have hope, hope against hope, that someday, sooner or later, I will get that mercy. I have to simply go on with faith, chanting Krishna's name, associating with Krishna's devotees, and hearing about the pastimes of the devotee, of the Lord in the association of devotees of the Lord. And therefore in the Bhakti Tattva Viveka, in reference to these four types of persons, we said that those who are distressed and those who are in need of money, those who are inquisitive and those who are wise. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains, he says that as long as someone has in their heart the fulfillment of these desires, they cannot get shuddha, they do not have the eligibility for shuddha bhakti, for pure devotional service. So the only way that one can be eligible for shuddha bhakti is that the desire to become relieved from distress has to be given up. And he gives the example of Gajendra, the elephant. Gajendra, he was in great distress and he offered prayers that he remembered from his previous birth. And the Lord, who is the reliever of all distress, he appeared and took away the distress of Gajendra. First, I forgot to mention one other point that's very important. He says that the devotee, of these four types of devotee, everyone requires to have sukriti. And he gives a definition of sukriti according to the teachings of Srila Jiva Goswami. And he says, what is real sukriti? He says, real sukriti means to have the association of transcendental personalities, and as a result of that association, the intense desire to serve Krishna awakens within one's heart. That is sukriti. So Gajendra, he had the association of the Lord. The Lord came and relieved his distress, took it away. By his association with the Lord, Gajendra gave up his desire to become relieved from distress. And then he became eligible for pure devotional service. He said, for those who are inquisitive, the sages of Naimasharanya are an example that were given. They were inquisitive. And they had doubts that by karma yoga, by fruitive activities and sacrifices alone, that in this age of Kali, one could achieve perfection. They were very inquisitive and they wanted to inquire from Suta Goswami. Because they were inquisitive and they got the association of Suta Goswami, their desire of an inquisitive nature was eradicated from their hearts and they became qualified for pure devotional service. One who wanted wealth, there was Dhruva Maharaj. Dhruva Maharaj wanted a kingdom. He got instruction from Srila Narada Muni
how to get the darshan of the Supreme Lord, who was told by his mother to go and to get to see, to look for in the forest to get the fulfillment of his desire. The Lord appeared by his severe austerities. And what happened? The desire for that kingdom was gone. I came here looking for a piece of broken glass. I found the most valuable jewel. He no longer had that desire for wealth, prosperity. Then he became qualified for pure devotional service. And it's described that the jnanis, they were the four kumaras. They were nirvishesha shunyavadis. But because they smelled the fragrance of the aroma of the telsi leaf emanating from the lotus feet of the Lord, they also became qualified by that association, and within their hearts an intense desire to serve Krishna had arisen. So all four of these personalities, the Sukriti means to get the association of the Lord or the pure devotee of the Lord, and then within one's heart one awakens an intense desire to serve the Lord. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes a verse from Srila Rupa Goswami. And he said that for those who are not too attached are too detached, but who have developed some faith in devotional service of the Lord, they could become qualified for pure devotional service. Not too attached and not too detached. And he gave a commentary on this. He said, what does it mean, not too detached? He said that sometimes a person, when they realize the futility of material existence because of prolonged endeavors to fulfill their desires, they realize the futility of materialistic life because of prolonged endeavor to fulfill their desires and they don't get them fulfilled, or they get the fulfillment of the desires and they still realize that it can't satisfy them. Then what happens, he says, within their hearts, some detachment is awakened. And when that's, by good fortune, when that detachment is awakened within their heart, if they get an opportunity to associate with a devotee of Krishna, and they hear from Krishna that the highest goal to attain is the lotus feet of Krishna and devotional service, by that association, what happens? They gain some faith in devotional service. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes the verse Jata Shrato Mat Katasu Nirvana Savakamasu Veda Dukatmakam Dukam. I can't remember the last part. If anyone can help me. This is a verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam. Jata Shradho Mat Katasu Nirvana Savakamasu. So one who's awakened his faith, having awakened his faith and hearing the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, knowing that sense gratification, being disgusted with sense gratification, and knowing that sense gratification leads to suffering, he said, my devotee, he should remain faithful. He should continue to worship me with love and with faith and devotion. Even though my devotee, he knows that sense gratification leads to suffering and he cannot give it up, still, he will sincerely repent for that sense gratification. Bhaktivinoda Thakur quotes that verse and describes, this is Shraddha. This is the eligibility for devotional service, for pure devotional service. That Shraddha is that faith and hearing the pastimes of the Lord. Even though we cannot, just like we saw my mind last night, we saw my mind, we saw Kali, and who is the third path? Me. Me, my mind, and Kali. And we saw how me and my mind, I was struggling with my mind. The mind was offering so many nice, titillating pleasures. And sometimes, due to weakness of heart, a devotee, he may fall victim to sense enjoyment. He cannot give it up completely due to hridaya dalbolya, some weakness in heart. But he has faith. He has faith. He knows that Shrinvata Svakata Krishna Punya Shava Nakirtana Hridantyasto Hyabhudani Virunati Sahitsatam, that Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the super soul in the heart of the devotee, he cleanses desire for material enjoyment within the heart of that person who develops the urge to hear his messages when they are themselves properly heard and chanted. He knows, he has that faith. He has that faith that if he simply goes on hearing about Krishna, if he goes on chanting Krishna's glories, that all these desires, these residual desires that within his heart, they'll gradually become cleansed and purified. And whenever he sees that he's committed some sense gratification, what does he do? He voluntarily suffers. He voluntarily suffers by his repentance. When Krishna sees his devotee voluntarily accepting that suffering, what is that verse? Tatenu kambam sushamikshamano bhujana evat mikritam vibhakam hidvahag vapubhir vinanam namaste jiveta yo mukti pade sadhaya bhak. Right? One who seeks your compassion and thus tolerates all kinds of adverse conditions due to the karma of his past misdeeds, who always goes on glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, engaging in devotional service of body, mind, and words, he certainly becomes a bona fide candidate for liberation. Mukti pade sadaya bhak. Mukti pade sadaya bhak means he gets his rightful inheritance. If a person has an inheritance coming, then what does he have to do to get it? All he has to do is live. That's all. If he lives, he'll get the inheritance. So in the same way, a devotee, if he goes on with faith, I'm a rascal. I have so many desires in the core of my heart, but I have faith that if I go on hearing these pastimes, if I see by these examples how Krishna becomes so merciful when he sees a devotee so determined that he allows himself, that even his, as described, his own determination becomes defeated by the determination of his devotee to go on serving him. That devotee has the desire to please the Lord. He simply wants to go on and satisfy the Supreme Lord by strictly following the instructions of his spiritual master and continuing the process of hearing and chanting. Krishna says, simply remain faithful and be happy. You can be happy. How can you be happy if, even though you know all sense gratification leads to suffering, and I just committed some sense gratification? You would think, if I committed some sense gratification and all sense gratification, I'm convinced that all sense gratification leads to suffering, then Krishna says, it's okay, be happy. How can I be happy? I'm going to suffer. But a devotee remains happy because he voluntarily suffers by his repentance. And he has faith. He remains happy because he knows that Krishna, who is very merciful to the devotee, that Kripa Shakti, his heart will melt. His heart will melt when he sees that devotee has not given up hearing and chanting about me. He's not given up his service to me. He's not given up anything. He simply wants to try to please me. Therefore, I am defeated by his determination. I will remove all obstacles. Desham Ivano Kampatam. No, what is that verse? What Krishna says, I give them what they lack, aham, and carry what they, give them, what, preserve what they have, and carry what they lack. What is the verse? Ananta chintayatosh mam yajana payutashante tesham nitya bhayuktanam yoga kshema vaham yaham. Yes. To those who are always endeavoring, meditating on my transcendental form, they're always endeavoring to please me. For them, whatever they lack, I will give them. I will, whatever they have, I will preserve for them. That endeavor to go on hearing and chanting the glories of the Lord in the association of the devotees of the Lord is very pleasing to the Lord. That type of faith is required. That faith, that is bhakti nishtha. That is bhakti nishtha. And that type of faith, that bhakti nishtha, is what actually allows the Lord to become bound by the love of His devotee. Just as Mother Jasoda bound her son, mischievous son Krishna, who wanted to go on playing with his friends and wanted to go on breaking the butter pots and stealing. Still his desire, when Mother Jasoda, when she, by her parishrama, by her hard labor, what happens? The vibhuti shakti and the satchasankalpi shakti, they left Krishna's body. They went away. They didn't stay there any longer. And then Krishna became bound. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur tells the pastime in that way for us, for sadhakas, so that we can understand the necessity of getting mercy and realizing that a devotee, just like it's described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, when Narada Muni asked from Lord Krishna, he asked a benediction from the Lord after Narada Muni had just seen that wonderful pastime as described in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and he saw how Krishna had so much love for his devotees in Braj that he became controlled by them. Krishna was taken to Navavrindavan on the back of Garuda. He was crying such great tears, thinking about his devotees in Vrindavan who had so much love for him, that he and Balaram, they fell down and lost consciousness and they were lying on the ground. And everybody who saw this, saw Krishna lying on the ground unconscious, crying because he was thinking of his devotees in Vrindavan. And then what happened was that Lord Brahma came to that place. This was in Dwarka. And he saw his father, Krishna, lying on the ground in an unconscious state. And he became overwhelmed within himself. And he also began to start crying. And everybody in Dwarka, they all came to that place. They all thought this was something inauspicious was happening. They saw Krishna lying unconscious. And they all began to cry. And then Brahma's thinking, I have to do something to bring Krishna back to his normal state of consciousness, because Krishna had been lying in his room all morning long, crying with his pillow over his head. He was thinking about his devotees in Braj and was feeling intense separation from him while he was in Dwarka. And then Lord Brahma was thinking, I have to take Krishna, I take him to Navavrindavan. So he called Garuda and said to Garuda, he pointed to him, but Garuda, he was also, it's hard to get Garuda's attention. He was also crying, calling Garuda, Garuda. Somehow he was able to get Garuda's attention and convey to him his desire that he wanted to relieve Krishna and Balaram who had lost consciousness. And he told them to put Krishna and Balaram on his back and take them to Navavrindavan. And Navavrindavan is that place that was created by Vishwakarma. There was a place where it's just like Vrindavan in Dwarka. Everything was there. Except Vishwakarma is one thing he could not duplicate. He created images, static images of Mother Jasoda, Nanda Maharaj, the gopis. They were static and they did not move because they cannot be duplicated. So he created these static images of the devotees that were there. And Lord Brahma said, all of you, they only allowed Rukmini to come because Rukmini, she understood the ways of Vrindavan. But all Krishna's queens, and they also wanted to go. So Uddhava said, you can go, but you have to stand behind the tree, off at a distance, We don't want you to disturb Krishna's mood in Vrindavan. So you stand behind the trees. And Narada Muni, he was thinking that he was the cause of this whole thing. Because Narada Muni, he came to Dwarka and he started a whole conversation about the devotees who were the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. And he started asking about the devotees of Vraj, and Uddhava began talking about them, and then Balaram was talking about them, Rohini was talking about them. They all started talking about them and how they were the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. And that's what put Krishna in that state. He started to think that my heart is so hard like a diamond. Why is it not broken in half? I must be hard-hearted that I have put my devotees in Vrindavan in such a state of suffering, in their feelings of separation from me. So Brahma was thinking, this is how I can relieve Krishna's feelings. I'll take him to Vrindavan. So Krishna and Balaram, they were taken and they were put on the ground. And Balaram gradually started to come to consciousness. And he started to figure out the whole arrangement that Brahma had made. And he was thinking that, now I have to prepare Krishna for all of this. So Lord Balaram, he took Krishna's flute while Krishna was still unconscious and put Krishna's flute in his hand. He took Krishna's buffalo horn, put it in his belt. He put a peacock feather on his head. He put gunja berry earrings on his ears. And Krishna started gradually coming to consciousness. And Balaram was pulling on him. Wake up, Krishna. Wake up. Wake up. Krishna calling out, Shiva, Shiva. He's coming to consciousness. Where am I? And the first thing he saw his father, Nanda Maharaj, standing there. And Balaram said, our parents, they are standing there. But they're so awestruck in seeing you, they cannot even move. Krishna immediately got down. He offered his obeisances before Nanda Maharaj. And then he looked at Mother Jasoda. And Mother Jasoda, she was standing there. And he started to tell Mother Jasoda. She said, I had a very wonderful dream, Mat. And I was dreaming that I was married to all these princesses. I was dreaming that I was in Madhupuri and I was king and I was defeating so many demons. Mother Jasoda was just standing, not moving. And Balaram said, come on, Krishna, it's time to go to the forest with the cowherd boys and the calves. Let us go. And Rohini, who had come along from Dwarka, she was watching. And she saw that while Krishna was talking to Mother Jasoda, that Krishna was indicating that he was hungry. He wanted to take something to the forest to eat. So she was very, very quick. She knew that I better do something immediately. She said, your mother is so disturbed because you've been lying in bed all morning. She can't even move. Please, don't put any more suffering. Why don't you go off to the forest with Balaram, with the cowherd boys? I'll make something for you to eat. And you can go to the forest with your cowherd boyfriends and cows. And I'll very quickly come and give something for you too. So Krishna said, okay. And Krishna went with Balaram. And then Balaram, he went off into the distance and he went ahead. Because then Krishna came upon Radharani, who was standing there, motionless. And Krishna was looking at Radharani. He said, hey, Radha, why are you looking so disturbed? Uh-oh. She must have known what I was dreaming about. And she's angry at me. Don't worry. We'll get together at dusk tonight. Don't worry about it. Don't be angry. And Krishna looked at her. He took some flower petals and he threw them at Radharani. He looked around to see if anyone is around. No one is around. He went over, gave her a little kiss on the cheek, and assured her, we'll meet later. Give up your anger. And then he went a little farther. And he went towards the Yamuna River, where Balaram and all his cowherd boyfriends apparently were going with the cows. And Krishna came to the Yamuna and he called, come on, come on, here, come to the Yamuna, take your water in the Yamuna. Come and drink. He's calling all his friends. But he looked around and he saw behind him this huge city. And he looked at the Yamuna and he saw it was a huge ocean. He looked back and saw this huge city. He said, what is this? What's going on? Where am I? Who am I? Krishna was so overwhelmed with prema by these devotees. He was so filled with love that he was each and every one, although they were a static replica image, his love for them was so overwhelming in his desire to please them. He was bewildered by their love for him. Narada was watching all this from the sky, and all the queens from Dwarka, they were watching Krishna and seeing this most beautiful pastime, this most beautiful leela. They were becoming overwhelmed. Some of them wanted to run out and catch Krishna and hold on. And they had to, Uddhava had to pull one of them back. I think it was Satyabhama. And Padmavati also, she wanted to run. She was there too. And she had to pull them back, seeing Krishna in this most beautiful feature of his love for his devotees of Raj. But then this was all removed. When he saw the ocean and he saw the huge city, he asked, who am I? And then Balaram immediately took this as a cue. He understood, now Krishna, it's time for me to remind Krishna. What, he has a purpose to fulfill. You've come to destroy the demons. Your devotees, they are being harassed by the demons. Don't you remember the purpose for which you descended? Look at Yudhisthira Maharaj. Look at how your devotees are suffering at the hands of those demons. You've come here to destroy them. And Krishna said, yes! Yes, that's it! Now I remember why I came. And Balaram could see it was working. It was time to bring Krishna back to Dwarka. So when Krishna was ready to go back to Dwarka and to fulfill his purposes for which he appeared, Balaram and Krishna got on the back of Garuda. Garuda back brought them back to Dwarka. Everyone else came to Dwarka. And then all the devotees, they began discussing. The queens of Dwarka, they began discussing the greatness of the mercy of the devotees of Braj. How they have the highest love for Krishna. They are the greatest recipients of Krishna's mercy. They said, who are we? We are just simply his wives. You know. But actually these gopis, they've given up everything to satisfy Krishna. They've given up their, we are engaged in our ritualistic duties, but they've given up all their duties. They've given up their families. They've given up their household duties. We, who are we? They are much greater than we are. But Satyabhama hadn't come yet. And Krishna asked, where's Satyabhama? So Satyabhama, she had this jealousy that she had to manifest. But we should not think it was mundane jealousy. When Satyabhama manifests this jealousy, she does it because it brings Krishna great pleasure. So the devotees, they went and they called Satyabhama to come. And Satyabhama, she went, she took bath, she got ready to fulfill her service to Krishna. And she began, she's showing, well, how great are these devotees in Braj? She began speaking this way. And then Krishna from his own mouth, Narada Muni was hearing his own mouth how Krishna was saying, these devotees are the most dear. I will do anything for these devotees. I will give up anything that I have for these devotees in Braj. Don't you understand, foolish woman? You are foolish if you cannot understand how much I have attachment and love for these devotees. He said, but I cannot go there. Because if I go there to that place, then their feelings of separation are so intense, they're thinking that I will soon leave. And their suffering increases even double. Therefore, I cannot even go there to fulfill there. But they control me completely by their love. And Krishna went on describing the glories of the devotees in Vrindavan. And then they asked, where is Narada? And Narada was afraid to come in. He was afraid to come in because he thought that it was his inquiry at the beginning when he first arrived in Dwarka. He was the person responsible for bringing suffering. And Krishna told Narada, Narada, you are so very dear to me. Do you know what the most dear thing a person can do for a devotee? Anyone who reminds a person of those he loves the most is rendering the most dear confidential servant. You should not be ashamed of what you have done. You have satisfied me in such a great way by reminding me of my devotees of Vrindavan. I want to give you a benediction. Please let me give you a benediction. And Narada Muni was thinking, oh Lord, I don't want any benediction from you. I'm not a merchant. And the Lord says, no, I don't want to give you a benediction. So Narada Muni, he asked, please, give me the benediction. That the nature of your devotional service will be such that a devotee will never think he has enough of your mercy. A devotee will never think that he has enough love for you. That a devotee will never think that he is doing enough service for you. I ask for that benediction. Krishna says, Narada, why are you asking for such a benediction? Don't you know that is the nature of bhakti? Don't you know that benediction is already fulfilled? That is the nature of my devotee. My devotee never thinks he has enough of my mercy. He never thinks he has enough love for me. He never thinks he's doing enough service for me. Ask him for me some more, a better benediction than this. And he says, my Lord, then I ask for the benediction that may I travel everywhere and may I simply describe your wonderful pastimes with your devotees to whomever I meet. And that may those persons who hear these wonderful pastimes understand their understanding their importance. May they be given the benediction that they have been able to get the opportunity to render confidential devotional service to your lotus feet. This is the benediction I ask from you. The Lord was very pleased by Narada's benediction, request for benediction. He said, yes, let it be. That is the nature. That is Krishna's mercy. Krishna's mercy is that he makes himself available in that place where his devotees are always eager to talk about him. Nahin tishtami vaikunte yogi nam hidi yeshuva tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. He says, Narada, I'm not found in the Vaikuntha planets. Nor will you find me in the hearts of yogis. Will you find me? You'll find me in that place where my devotees are always discussing my glories. That place I go personally. I will come. He is so merciful. So those who have faith in these pastimes of the Lord and who do not give them up and always are very eager to go on hearing, drinking the nectar emanating from the lotus feet of Krishna and from the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord. Such persons, they can conquer the Lord, who is otherwise unconquerable by anyone in the three worlds. Anyone who simply gives his ears to hearing these transcendental narrations which are spoken by the Lord personally and by His devotees, they can conquer the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is otherwise unconquerable by anyone in the three worlds. We should never think we cannot achieve that success in this life. That is Shraddha. And therefore it is recommended that a devotee, if he has this Shraddha, and he goes on being happy to engage in Krishna service in this way, being happy to serve the Supreme Lord, always expecting His mercy and always being patient for the day when that mercy will come, that someday he will receive that mercy of Krishna and he'll understand the greatness of Krishna's personality. These pastimes, otherwise, to the non-devotees, they're very bewildering. But for the devotees, they can be understood by the mercy of Krishna. I'll read the verse one more time. O Lord, no one can understand your transcendental pastimes, which appear to be human and are so misleading. You have no specific object of favor, nor do you have any object of envy. People only imagine that you are partial. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki.